everyone. I'm Janelle Johnson, Director of Demand Gen for Act On Software, and I'd like to welcome you to an Act On conversation. Today's conversation is centered around content marketing for the small marketing department, and I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest conversationalist, Ann Hanley. Ann is one of the foremost experts in the world on content marketing, and one busy lady. Not only is Ann the Chief Content Officer of Marketing Prof, she also writes a monthly column for Entrepreneur Magazine and is the co-author of the best-selling book on content marketing, Content Rules. Joining Ann in today's conversation is Acton's Chief Marketing Officer, Autry Chatterjee. Welcome, Ann and Autry.
Thank you, Janelle, and welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
By the way, for those of you who have not read Ann's blog, that's another great place to get some wonderful information, marketing in general and content marketing in particular. And coming to content marketing, this has really become a driving force today, especially for us business-to-business marketers. But one of the things I think that we still need to figure out is that how can one effectively do content marketing when you're a small marketing team? And small marketing teams have always had some specific challenges, and we'd like to address at least some of those challenges in the context of content marketing today. So in preparation for this, we at Acton did a little poll of our customers to try to get an understanding of what were their most pressing concerns with content marketing. And we collected that information and essentially boiled it down to six or seven questions that I'd like to start off with and get the discussion started off with Ann. So Ann, should I start off with some of these questions? They're live, they're right from our customers, and get you going with them.
Sure, I think we should just jump right in. And yes, thank you very much for having me. I'm really honored and thrilled to be here today.
It's great to have you. So the first one, how can I generate enough new and interesting content? And this is an overarching theme that came back from pretty much all of those who answered our questions. How do I generate enough and interesting content? It seems like a daunting task for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, first of all, I hear that a lot, I mean, not just from small businesses or small marketing teams, but, you know, this is a huge challenge for, you know, for even the bigger marketing teams. Nobody has enough time. Nobody has enough budget. So I think the first thing is just to remember that, you know, this is a whole new way of doing marketing, right? It's a different mindset. And I think especially for marketers who are used to being in a campaign mindset, you know, you've got to shed that, you know, you've got to just toss it away, because really the mindset that you're in now is much more focused on, you know, having a consistent program, right? So not just a one-and-done campaign, but really a consistent approach to how we're doing marketing. So all that to say, you know, I do know it's a big challenge. But what I see often, Autry, with not just small businesses, but also bigger companies, is that they try to do too much. You know, I think the one thing that they can do just to start, you know, all right, so you understand that, you know, you have a website, you're a publisher, if you're on social media in any way, you're in marketing. And so the first thing is just to think, you know, focus, do one thing really, really well. And, you know, how do you know what that one thing is? You know, where are your customers? You know, how do they want to communicate with you? So it means, you know, knowing who you are and what you're capable of, but also knowing your customers and where you can talk to them and how you can reach them.
So it's really about, you know, one set of things that you want to do. What are the things that are interesting your customers? Narrow that down. And start with that as a starting point, and then over time, more and more things will come up. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. And it's not just what you want to do either, but, you know, how can you help your customers? You know, what questions do they have? I think the best place to look for content ideas is exactly what you just did for this podcast with me. You know, go to your customers and ask them, what questions do you have? What can we help you with? You know, one of my favorite examples of this is a website called Crew. And essentially what Crew is, they used to be called Oomph. I don't know if you know this company at all. But what they are is they're like a match.com for developers. You know, so they'll match developers with projects. And one of the things that they realized through talking to their customers was that they found out that the big question that their customers had was, well, how much is it going to cost us to make an app? So, you know, again, small company, strapped resources, small budget. So what they did is they built a website called How Much to Make an App, which is essentially an interactive tool that anybody can use. You can go on there and say, okay, I want to build an iPhone app, or I want to build an iPad app, or Android, you know, whatever the case is that you want to do. And it delivers through a series of questions some kind of number that you can benchmark, you know, so you can base it off of. So that's a really great example of, you know, how do you create something that's really useful to the audience, sort of is wrapped up in your bigger story, right? You're being very helpful to them, but at the same time, you know, drive leads. So I think that's the key, right? Creating content that your customers want and that, you know, tells your bigger story, that really positions you as the expert, and that ultimately, you know, brings them to you as that expert.
And I think perhaps one very interesting, relevant sort of measurement is that if it's going to be useful to you, if you find something useful, or you were really looking for an answer to something, then there are probably many others who are looking for it. So we definitely use that within Acton. Our own marketing department here is that, you know, when we find something that works for us, we like to share it with our customers, because obviously we're a marketing company. So if it worked for us in the marketing department, then it's probably going to work for a few others, and we'd like to share it with as many people as we can. And so that serves as a good basis for coming up with an interesting piece of content to share.
Yeah, exactly. And I like what you just said that's inherent in that, which is to approach your marketing with a spirit of generosity. You know, I talk to a lot of companies who are worried about sharing secrets. You know, well, if we tell them how much it is to make an app, or if we give away our marketing secrets, you know, doesn't that mean that people aren't going to buy from us? You know, it's that whole notion of, you know, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free kind of deal. But, you know, I think that's the wrong attitude. I think you want to be generous with the people that you're trying to reach, because what you're doing is demonstrating your own thought leadership, your own position, and you're showing them a little bit. You know, and that's really the opportunity of content marketing and social media, is that we can share and connect with our customers directly. So, you know, why not give them gifts? You know, give them content gifts is what I talk about, you know, quite often, just like you were just describing.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. I think the other piece that comes in, and there's a couple of questions that came in that follow along a particular thread. One of them was, how do we get better conversations out of our content? So, you know, it's a question of, you know, we're going to spend all this time and effort creating content. We want to try to get the most out of it, and we want to get people drawn into a conversation. And of course, you know, the interesting thing with that, I think, is that you don't know where it's going to go, and it may lead to a rich experience, a much richer experience than you originally thought. So what advice can you give to marketers about create interesting content, but then, you know, try to get the most out of it by getting better conversations out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good point. You know, I think one of the biggest things that every company should be doing, and again, no matter what size you are, whether you're a small company or big, is that everybody should have a list of influencers that they're connecting with. And, you know, what do I mean by that? I just mean people who are really known in their industry that have some sort of followers, you know, and really make friends with them. There's many different ways that you can do that, but, you know, the idea is to, you know, just connect with people who have followings that you want to reach. Now, obviously, there's an art to that, right? You can't just go out and say, you know, share this for me. So, in other words, it becomes a relationship-building, you know, task first. So build relationships with these people. You know, again, approach them with a spirit of generosity. Give them gifts. Highlight them. Have them on your podcast, for example, like this one, or, you know, anything that you can do to make them a hero as well. So give them gifts, and then in turn you'll build relationships with them, and you know, and they'll want to share things for you. Companies that have physical locations have the ability to maybe host a party or some sort of event for influencers, you know, where they can invite them in and treat them like royalty in one way or another. And there are various tools that you can use to identify who your influencers are in your particular industry. GroupHi is one where you can get a list of relevant blogs, you know, blogs that have some sort of following who, you know, you may want to be connected with. Little Bird is another tool that I've used in the past to connect with influencers in various industries. So there's lots of tools out there to allow you to do that. I mean, even Twitter search allows you to filter and find people who are talking about things that you want to talk to. So
sure.
If you're looking to get more you know, more pick up on your content, you know, connect with those influencers and you know, get them in your, on your side and share it with them and you know, guarantee they'll love to share really good quality content because, you know, they're looking for it too.
Right, right. And this goes back to your earlier comment about, you know, being generous. And so mm-hmm. the other part of the generosity is, you know, be a source of amplification for them also. So when
right.
when they create stuff. And then that of course, helps with answer some of the other question, which is, you know, new content comes out that way. Well, it may not all be have to be authored by you, but it can be adapted from authored by someone else and then adapted by you, which gives you leverage.
Yeah, yeah, and actually that's a really good point. That was another thing that I was going to mention when you were talking about, you know, how, what's the challenge, some of the challenges of creating content, consistently creating content. I mean, sometimes you don't have to create the content. You know, sometimes you
right.
can share content that's created by others. Or, you know, another opportunity, I think, especially for small businesses, is to identify people who are natural content creators, who are already creating content in your industry, and partner with them. And, you know, it always astounds me, you know, no matter how, like, niche you think your industry is, I mean, if you go on YouTube, if you go on Pinterest or, you know, whatever is relevant mm-hmm. to your particular product or service, I guarantee you will find people who are as passionate about it as you are, who are probably already creating content. And I've seen this time and time again, you know, I mean, I think there's people out there who just are natural content creators that they love to create it, and they if you offered to, say, sponsor them in some way, they would probably be thrilled to have somebody, you know, somebody backing them, and I think it's another opportunity. So in other words, find people who are already creating content in your particular industry and partner with them. I think there's this mindset that, oh, we have to always be the creator. Well, sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes
yes.
you can curate, like we've talked about, or, you know, you can partner with people who are already curating. Or already creating, I mean. So, you know, there are various ways to kind of get at the issue.
And in fact, this, when you brought up the point curation, that was one of the other questions that we got in, was that a strategy for curation, because I think our customers definitely understand that, you know, they don't, you know, they're typically small marketing teams. A marketeer is doing a variety of different things. In fact, we try to insist with our customer base that, you know, marketing automation, for example, it's not a part-time job for someone. It's not someone who's also doing five other things. You
mm-hmm.
need to have the discipline to spend on it. Similarly with content, I think you need to have it, but you're not going to be able to create enough. Curation is the other side of that, which is, do you have some sort of specific advice or rules of thumb that you can give to people on what's the best curation strategy? What should they be thinking about? Just like you talked about with content creation, what can you say about with content curation, where you're looking at necessarily not just looking at all this content that's being generated and then curating things, and what can they do? Some of it is going to be from people that they already know, or, you know, part of that influencer list that they've got, but some of it is going to be from people that they don't know.
Yeah, it's funny because I sort of have I'm almost allergic to that word content curation sometimes, because it's such a, I don't know, it's such an ugly phrase in a way.
Sounds very clinical, you know, it sort of sounds
does,
a very clinical
it?
Word, yeah.
Yeah, it really does, and it implies that there's some sort of machinery involved, when actually I think, you know, the value in curation is very much about the human beings who are doing it. So, you know, you could use a tool to curate, like, you know, Curata, for example, here where I live in Boston, is a good player in this space. Or, you know, you could even use something like Google, just to Google Alerts, you know, just to deliver curated headlines to you, for example. But I think the real value is, you know, okay, once you have that relevant content, you know, that's you know, that you're targeted through keywords, you know, what do you do with it? And I think the value for businesses and for their audiences is when you add that human element. So, you know, say that you have an article on, I don't know, you know, chicken coops, you know, building a backyard mm-hmm. chicken coop. You know, don't just broadcast that to your audience, but tell me why it's relevant. You know, this is a great look at using reclaimed lumber to create a chicken coop or something like that. God, that was a silly example, but you know what I'm saying.
Like, yes, I do, and it sort of goes back to not that much different from my high school teacher, who used to say, well, you got to have a point of view.
Yes.
Right. So you take something and then add your point of view to it. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be, you're basically just cut, copying, and pasting. So I guess an important part of curation is a point of view, so that you can expand on something that's already out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so tell me why it matters, and why you're sharing it with me, you know. So I think when you add that human element to it, then curation becomes really valuable to the audiences that you're trying to reach. You know, just a couple of quick tips about curation generally. I mean, I think it's great to rely on a variety of sources, you know, in your industry. So don't just rely on, you know, in my example, buildingchickencoops.com. You know, rely on a number of examples and not just one source. Always credit that original source, which sounds really obvious, but I'm always surprised at the number of times that I see companies linking to secondary sources, so like another site or a writer who's sharing an article instead of the original source. I think that's really important. And then, you know, make sure that you're attributing it, you know, front and center. You know, don't try to pass it off as your own, of course, but make sure that you're really giving kudos to the original author or the original publication. You know, it's a great way to build relationships.
Yes, that's good advice. And also that quoting of the original source, crediting the original source, goes back to, you know, college English classes where, mm-hmm. you know, you had to had to do the research to quote the actual original source versus just quoting whatever you saw.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's really important. And then, as you said too, you know, having that context, having that point of view, you know, making sure that you're saying why you're sharing something, you know, and how you feel about it. I think that's the value of it. You know, this is important because, and tell me why it matters to the people that you're talking to. You know, why you're sharing it, making sure that you're telling people how you feel about something. I think is really important.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And, you know, moving on, there's a couple of questions that came in that, you know, obviously, as we've talked, content creation is, you know, it's a non-trivial task that requires a lot of thought, effort, and so on. Once you've done all that, what's the best way to promote new content? I think people are looking for, you know, there were couple of questions that came out on this, and they're sort of related, and we should probably just tackle them. One is that, what's the best way to promote our content, given how much effort we've put into creating this? And what are the channels that are ideal for this? I guess they're both related to each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking at the social networks where you are most active and where your customers are most active or your prospects are most active is definitely where to start. I mean, I can't say that there's one channel that is going to work for every company out there because, you know, what works for somebody who is interacting quite a bit on Twitter is going to be different than the person who's on, say, Tumblr or Vine or something like that. So I think it's really important to, you know, as we started this conversation talking about, was really knowing your audience and where are they. And also looking at your own proclivities. You know, where do you like to talk to people? You know, I think your own passion for a network is something that's important. It's definitely going to show. But, you know, I mean, just broadly speaking, I think if you are a B2B company, I would be looking at LinkedIn. I would be spending a lot of time on LinkedIn and SlideShare. I think those are two platforms that are vastly undervalued, particularly SlideShare with B2B companies. In a survey that Marketing Profs does every year with the Content Marketing Institute, we always ask this question, you know, where are you distributing your content? On what social media sites and social media channels are you distributing your content? And it's been funny, you know, consistently every year we've seen LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, you know, pretty much, you know, 1, 2, 3. But it's been interesting to see, you know, SlideShare, for example, really jumped up in the 2014 report that we did versus 2013. So a lot of interest going on there. And it's a really, I don't know if your listeners have ever used SlideShare, but it's a really good source of leads, or it can be a really good source of leads for B2B companies. Another up-and-coming one, according to our survey anyway, I can't say I like it personally, but according to our survey, is Google Plus. There's a lot of opportunity there. 55% of the companies we surveyed on the B2B side in our survey for the 2014 content marketing survey are using Google Plus, and that number really surprised me, I got to say, because
that is very surprising.
Yeah, it was very surprising to me. I don't particularly like Google Plus all that much. You know, clearly it's something that B2B marketers are really paying attention to.
And I'm sure there's probably going to be some connection between being I know there is a connection between being an author and a prolific author on Google Plus, and then mm-hmm. and that influencing your search rankings also at some level. I don't know what the latest is on the ranking algorithms, but somehow they all seem to be connected.
Yeah, right. I know Google is a bit of a mystery, but yeah, I think what you're referring to is like Google authorship, where if you are, you get the greatest rewards essentially from Google authorship if you have, you know, if you've linked your accounts and Google Plus is part of that as well. So I can't say that I'm a search expert or a Google expert, but I suspect that you're right. I think that probably has a lot to do with it.
What about some of the more traditional things like email and using that as a vehicle to share? I mean, it still seems like a lot of people are doing that. It is the most direct in some ways. You obviously one wants to be careful about overusing a particular medium, but do you have any thoughts on that in this day and age? So the social is great. I mean, obviously the social, there's some that are more measurable than others, and those are a natural place where people are going. But what about the more traditional email channel?
I think of email as almost the backbone of so many marketing programs. You know, and you're right. You know, we tend to not talk about it, but I mean, it's almost like it's like a given in a way. You know, you've definitely got to have an email program, a database as part of your marketing program. I mean, and as I said, it's really the backbone, I think, of what you're doing in social, in on blogs, or you know, all across the web. So yeah, I think email is hugely important, but I think it's also changing a little bit. I mean, like one of the things that I've noticed recently is that like the idea of sharing content on email that has, you know, a real point of view. You know, it used to be that if you were on an industry list, like on a company's list, it was pretty straightforward, you know. But now I notice is that companies are, even in the B2B space, they're showing a whole lot more personality, you know, on email, which I love. You know, I love the fact that I feel like I'm getting a human side of a company. And so I think that there are ways that email is kind of being buffed and polished a little bit. You know, I think it's still a critical part of your marketing, but at the same time, I feel like that especially B2B companies are loosening up a little bit. You know, they're really having some fun with it. So I'm really, really happy to see that. I think we're seeing lots of companies who are really, you know, oozing with personality, you know, with that approach. But yes, I mean, absolutely. You know, even with your social channels, and we didn't really talk about this, but you know, you always want to be creating some sort of call to action, you know, to get people more involved in your database, you know, to become, you know, to be on some sort of, have some sort of a subscription relationship with them, I think is really important.
I think that's really good advice. And you know, as we, you know, when we look at our own marketing automation platform, we not only look at, you know, sources of leads, but also what influences leads. And content definitely plays a big role in it. People are influenced by things that you're doing, even if it's a, you know, if you start building an interesting email curriculum where you're just sharing information and it's actually valuable, people start depending on it and they actually look to it, and it becomes a factor that influences what their behavior is later on. And so once one establishes that, it's actually very, very valuable. So,
right.
And that sort of like goes to another question, which we sort of like just touched on just briefly, is measurement. You know, what, as a marketer, there's this whole transformation going on between, you know, sort of the branding type of environments to a much more measurable environment, and all marketers are becoming, you know, almost in some sense direct response marketers. They want to measure things. They want to see how they're doing. What can you tell our audience about, you know, how to measure this, some of the benchmarks for measurement, what they should be looking at, what can they expect, what should they be shooting for, conversion rates, etc.?
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough question in terms of, you know, what kind of conversion rates they should be looking at. But you know, I think that the most important thing is to really have some sense of, you know, first of all, defining what it is you're looking for in a conversion. So, are you looking for some sort of sign up? You know, like we've been talking about, are you looking to get somebody as a subscriber in your database? So, really defining obviously what that conversion looks like. And staying away from these, you know, so-called vanity metrics, you know, just like shares and comments and things like that. Although I will say that, you know, I do think that metrics like that are useful to at least see what resonates with customers, but not to use it as the measure necessarily of how effective marketing is, but maybe as more of a more of kind of like a back of your brain kind of you know, reminder to let's do some more of that and maybe create some content around that and you know, to drive more engagement or to drive more conversions that way. So I think it's really important to, you know, first of all, think about what is the goal of whatever you want to creating, whatever it is that you're creating. I mean, obviously it's really hard to put metrics around anything until you figure out what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then, you know, and build it out from there. It's really hard to give, you know, general benchmarks about, you know, what kind of performance should you be seeing. I mean, it's, I don't know, I guess I could make them up, but honestly, I'd be doing us all a disservice, because I just feel like you've got to really know your audience. There are so many factors that will go into that.
But I think there's probably, what I'm hearing from you is there's probably a way that each marketer can sort of like look at their own audience and look at their content and sort of try to codify this, right? So for example, if your audience is really, you know, receptive to how-to types of material because, you know, you're in an industry where, you know, this sort of education is very important, then obviously that gives you a sense of, you know, the types of content that you keep building. You measure how that flavor of content is doing compared to, say, another type of content, et cetera. So those are the types of things that perhaps what I'm hearing you saying is that the audience, our customers need to take that into account and say, okay, you know, how do I try to codify my content creation efforts and into different categories and see how they're doing, and then obviously focus more on the categories that are resonating with their audiences.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, this is one of the things that I always look at, too, is for marketing props anyway, is our bounce rate and the average time on page. So, you know, we're a publication, and so I want to see, you know, are people reading more than one article on our website and then just kind of, you know, leaving, or are they sticking around for a while and really consuming our content? And we're a content site. So, you know, it's important for me that they stay, that I get them to stay there as long as I can get them to stay there. So I always look at average time on page. I mean, that's just sort of one of my own sort of personal metrics that I look at. So I think it's important to have those too. You know, again, that's because I know our audience really well. And so over time, I can see, you know, how effective our engagement is. You know, it gives me a sense of the quality of things that we're publishing and whether it's, you know, resonating with the people we're talking to or not.
No, that's great advice, because it's as simple as it may sound, it's extremely indicative. You know, if the bounce rate goes down and the average time on page goes up, well, you're doing something right.
Right, exactly.
So, Ann, thank you so much for joining us. I was wondering if you had any closing words of advice to give our listeners. We'd appreciate it.
As we started out talking, you know, I think that the most important thing for every business out there to understand is that, you know, we all are publishers, right? And we hear that a lot, but I still see a lot of companies who are a little resistant to the notion. And I think, you know, just remember that if you have a website, if you are on the internet, which, you know, presumably most of us are, that means that you are a publisher, and you've got to take this content directive seriously. And if you're on social, you're in marketing. So no matter what you're doing online, you know, you are a publisher. So I think, first of all, you know, create the kind of content that your customers want, because it's an opportunity more than anything else. And I don't use that word lightly. I do think it's an incredible opportunity. And I want to see more companies really take advantage of it, because I believe in its ability to add value, and I know that you guys do too, and I think we've seen companies who have tremendous success with it. So I would just say, you know, embrace that idea.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much for joining us. Anne Handley, Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, prolific writer, and writes a great blog and has many wonderful YouTube videos out there. So feel free to go and see those. Janelle, I'll hand it back to you now.
Thank you, Autry, and thank you so much, Anne. What a great Content Marketing 101 session. I appreciate that you covered so many different aspects, from how do you create content to measuring contribution.
For more information on relevant industry topics, upcoming Act On events, or if there's a topic you'd like to know more about, visit us at act-on.com.